Let's open with hymn 84.
Oh,
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength wherewith he hath girded himself. Be with you.
And with our spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks unto thee that of thy mercy and compassion thou didst allow thy dear Son to become incarnate, and didst through him redeem us from sin and everlasting death. We beseech thee, enlighten our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may ever be thankful for such grace, and comfort ourselves with the same in all tribulation and temptation, and at last obtain eternal salvation through the same thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this Christmas day is found in the 9th chapter of Isaiah, the 2nd through the 7th verse. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath a light shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle, and garments rolled in blood, will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Here ends our Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 2nd chapter of Titus, the 11th through the 14th verse. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Here ends the epistle lesson. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us worship and bow down before him. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel is found in the 2nd chapter of Luke, the 1st through the 14th verse. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing hymn 90.
In our need, his help.
mercy and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson this morning is found in the third chapter of 1 John, verses 1 through 5. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the last several years, the media has gotten into the game of reporting upon the war on Christmas. Christmas has become that special season of boycotts, where various groups bemoan the fact that the schools and governments and large businesses do not seem intent upon celebrating the festival of our Savior's birth. We are reminded on billboards and bumper stickers and advertisements in newspapers to put Christ back in Christmas. But by and large, such attempts are futile. Because other than for purposes of public relations, the secular world really has no reason to celebrate Christmas. Why should they? They do not believe in Christ. Because they are not people, but institutions and bureaucracies. And for the most part, the people that run them, whether they are the schools or governments, the media or large businesses, do not believe in Christ either. Whatever may be accomplished by allowing manger scenes in public squares or using the word Christmas in public greetings or announcements does not serve any other purpose than keeping the various Christian institutions placated for another year. There is a far more serious problem with the celebration of Christmas that Christians should be concerned about. That is, rather than putting Christ back in Christmas, they should be putting the Mass back in Christmas. For the true tragedy of this season is that too many churches are more interested in Christianizing the secular institutions than giving Christ to their own people. The word Mass is only used in the church. Whatever its original meaning, it has now come to mean only one thing: the divine service in the church, in which the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is given to her members and they hear the word of God. The Mass in Christmas means that we as a church come together to receive our Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven to give his body and to shed his blood for us. We receive him whenever we believe his word of forgiveness and when we eat at his table. You cannot think of the Christ Mass without remembering that here we receive Jesus, God's gift unto us. The world understands that Jesus is a gift, but it is not the kind of gift that they expect. He does not come to set an example of holy living, but to make men holy by his life and his death. He does not come to bring world peace, but the peace of the forgiveness of sins and the assurance of everlasting life. These things are meaningless to the world. They can say the words, Merry Christmas, but they have no reason to be merry, nor to wish the same for you. They may say the words, but they do not think that they are blessing you. No, what they're really doing is taking the Lord's name in vain. For they use the name of Christ, but they do not know him. So do not be surprised to find that the world is not so inclined to join us in proclaiming the birth of Christ. Even for all that the world likes to celebrate Christmas, they don't know him. They don't know what they're doing. John declares in the first verse of our text that they do not know the Son whom God sent into the world, and because of this, they also do not know us. Let the world be. Let government be. Let the stores and the businesses do whatever they wish. Our Christmas time is far better spent rejoicing that when the Christ child came into the world, our Father in heaven loved us in such a way that we also are now called the children of God. Jesus Christ is God's first and only begotten Son. But as we hear in Romans 8, he is the firstborn of many children. John continues, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." You see, it is not surprising that the world does not know us. We do not even know ourselves. We can barely begin to grasp what it really means to be a child of God. So often we run through our life struggling against temptation and sin, going to church and going home again. Our life as a child of God seems to only mean that we have a hope for something better in the future, a future that is so far away that we can hardly tell ourselves apart from the rest of the world. In part, it is true. To the world, aside from some strange rituals and beliefs, we look no different than anyone else. But think of the Christ child, wrapped in strips of cloth, laid in a manger because there were no other beds for him in the inn in Bethlehem. What sort of beginning is this for a child who is the Lord God and who is to be the Savior of the world? Is this how God would begin his own life in this world? He does not look any different than other children. He cries just like other babes when he is in need or in distress. And yet here is the Son of God in human flesh. It did not yet appear what he would be or how he would save us from our sins. But there was no doubt in heaven about the child Jesus. The angels who announced the birth of Christ to the shepherds made it plain that here is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Here he is on this day. Though still a helpless child, he did not have to wait to become God's Son or the Savior until later in life. The Savior had come. His glory was hidden, but it was there, wrapped up in that tiny body, waiting to be revealed to men. The deliverer of lost mankind had arrived, and 8 days later, when the child was presented to the Lord in the temple, Simeon declared that he had on that day seen the Lord's salvation. It is the same way with us, dear Christians. Now we are children of God. He adopted us as his sons and daughters when we were baptized. We have all the rights and privileges of a child of God. And yet, we follow after Christ. We are like the child Jesus in this world. We do not look like much. No one considers us to be God's children. We are weak. We are in constant need of help, just like a defenseless baby. Someday we will grow up and take our place in God's household. But what we will be then has not yet been revealed to us. The life which we have is hidden. Colossians 3:3 says that our life is hidden with Christ in God. Indeed, it is so hidden away that though we are indeed God's adopted sons and daughters, we still live with the growing pains of sin and death. Unlike the holy child Jesus, in whom there is no sin, we are not pure within and without. We still commit sin, often grievously. Again, no wonder the world does not know us as anything different or special. By nature, these sins are not any different than the sins which we see in the world. Sin is always lawlessness, and it condemns us just as surely as the sins of unbelievers condemn them. And therefore, we need this Savior, whom the angels proclaim, not just once, not just on the day he is born, but every day. For he did not come into the world to save only the sinners who do not yet believe, but also the sinners who believe in him. The child Jesus was manifested to take away our sins. So the angel declared when he announced to Joseph the name of the child, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus is the answer to our lawlessness. We are transgressors, but he is pure. The wondrous news of this child that he was not manifested just to show us once more how holy God is, but to make us holy also, to make us pure even as he is pure. And the way by which he makes us holy is not to give us new commandments to perform, but as our text says, he was manifested to take away our sins. But how then shall we receive this purity? John answers, "Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." We are made just as pure in Jesus when we have this hope in him. When we believe that he has bought us, that through him who takes away our sins, we are now the children of God. Whoever has this hope purifies himself. What does this mean except that we are made pure simply by believing what God has done for us in his Son, Jesus Christ? And because we are now the children of God, we have right now the very thing which every child of God has, purity and righteousness. We are sinless in Christ. How can these things be? What did we do to become his children? Nothing at all. The Father loved us first. And so our text begins, he called us the children of God. He manifested his love to us. He called us out of the world and made us what we are. He gave us the hope which we have in Jesus, the hope which purifies us even as Jesus is pure. That hope needs to be constantly renewed. Therefore, God has not given us his Son, Jesus, just once, but he is with us until the end of the world. He is with us in his word and sacraments, and these things that God gives to men through his church on earth and through his holy ministry. That is why it is so important that the church set her mind not on putting Christ into the holiday celebrations of unbelievers, but putting the Mass back into the Christmas celebration of the church. For the peace on earth and goodwill which God gives to men do not come through world peace, but through the gift of the body and blood of Jesus, given and shed for our sins, which we receive when we believe his word and when we receive his supper. It is by this gift that God has called us to be his own. It is by this that he calls us his children. It is this that makes us his children every day, even now. One can well imagine what the angels must think of us Christians when we are distressed and discouraged, when our sins oppress us and we struggle against our flesh, and it threatens to overwhelm us, and when we cry out to God, "How long, O Lord? How long must we live like this? How long until He appears as you have promised?" You can almost imagine them saying, "Don't these silly children realize who they are? We are the children of God right now. We are princes and princesses of the King of Heaven." This is as certain as it is certain that Jesus Christ was born, suffered, and died for our sins. We were born again of water and of the Spirit when we were baptized. God became our dear Father, and He took us into His house. He forgave our sins. He overcame our flesh. He put His Spirit in us and gave us a new heart. And all of this is certain. It is sure. Do not doubt it. You are now the children of God. And though we do not yet fully know what that means, we know that even as we are like Jesus in His humiliation, we will be like Jesus in His glory. Because we will then be able to look upon Him and see Him as He is in all of His divine majesty. Glory be to God in the highest for giving us such a gift in the Christ child. In Him we have an eternal inheritance, waiting to be revealed when the Lord of glory is revealed to the whole world. Then we shall indeed see Him face to face, and know Him and be known by Him. God grant unto us this hope. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in eternity Thou didst appoint a time for the sending of Thy holy child, Jesus. By Thy Spirit, Thou didst overshadow the Virgin, and thus didst send our Savior as true God, begotten of Thee from eternity, and true man, born of a woman. Accept the thanks of Thy grateful people for this immeasurable gift of Thy love. We glorify Thee for the appearing of Thy Son, and for the blessed promise that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We give thanks for the revelation of Thyself in Him, that to hear Him is to hear Thee. Grant, O Father, that the whole earth may come to know the manger child as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, that men everywhere may acknowledge Mary's child as Lord and Savior, the Incarnate God. Let the light of this truth reach the hardest of hearts and the most stubborn of wills. Let it shatter the wretched idolatries and the brittle ideologies of men. Let it pierce the darkness of all who dwell in the shadow and fear of death. Grant that the glad tidings of the true Christmas may be born into each home this day, and that all children and parents may know the greatest gift of all in the child of Bethlehem. Look with compassion on all who are in any want or need this day. We lift up for thy compassion the lonely and forsaken, the sick and troubled, the sorrowing and dying. Bring to their memory with renewed power the comfort of Christmas, the child who is Emmanuel, God with us. Grant them faith that thou art the deliverer of thy people, their helper in every need, the health of the sick, and the hope of the dying. Give them the assurance that in Christ thou art near to all who call upon thee. All this we pray in the name of Jesus, in whom alone is our hope of salvation. Amen. We sing hymn number 107. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast given us a new revelation of thy glory, that seeing thee in the person of thy Son, we may be drawn to the love of those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Upon us, O Christ, O Lamb of God,
Take, eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ,
given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
To my temple, gentiles.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
We sing hymn 87. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.